Aaron, last week you talked about from Colossians 1 that Christ is there at creation, and you also mentioned when you talked about the story of Mary and Martha that the one that was the creator was actually sitting in the living room. And right. How could somebody be busy in the kitchen washing dishes when Colossians 1 was sitting in the living room? So I thought you did a good job, like, putting that in our mind, putting that in our hearts. But one person texted and said, could you elaborate on that a little bit? And I don't like pointing out who the people are that do this, but it was your dad. Okay? Dan. But, you know, he does this to me, too. It's not you. He's not just picking on you. All right? You want to elaborate on
you
that?
You can
a
ask
bit?
This after church.
No, we need it here right now.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to Colossians 1. That'd probably be a starting point of what I mean by Colossians 1 was in someone's living room. But that is the matter of the fact of what was going on. And it comes from verses 15 through 19. I read that before. Purposely before I read the passage, but what I mean by Colossians 1 was in the living room of Mary, it means that this person was in the living room. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, rulers and authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. And this is probably the key sentence right here. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. So in him, Jesus Christ, fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and he was in the living room of Mary and Martha.
Yeah, so I think as Christians, we want to, in fact, we studied last year in Ephesians that prayer where Paul says, I hope that he becomes more and more comfortable in your hearts. So there is this thing that we want to become more comfortable with Christ in our relationship with him. We want to become more comfortable. But I think we can become so comfortable that there's a moment where we miss that, you know, when I read this at the end of the service last week, these verses, and asked you to say if you agree with it, say amen, even though we're not necessarily an amen church. It's like when Devin was just reading, like, we're not an amen church, but how many times do you want to go, amen, amen, amen? And then I wanted to go, Devin, stop, I can't stop crying, you know? We want to be comfortable with Christ, but not comfortable in the sense that we don't recognize that he is the visible image of the invisible God. Like he's that John 1 passage that he was in the beginning with God and was God. And all things that are created were created by him. All right, in a second you're going to start on your address to us this week. Let me just say, if you're visiting with us, Steve, will my phone number be up there? It will be up there. And if you have a question or a comment, just text it to me. And know that I'm not checking on scores on my phone. I'm actually going through text. And again, some of you have used the opportunity to text me what you thought was funny, you know. Do that. That's okay. If you see me laughing, that's all it is somebody with a sense of humor in our church is texting me. But we're really trying to make this as interactive as we possibly can. So if you have a thought or a question, just text it to the number that you see down there in the corner. Okay?
I was thinking, I noticed Tim crying in his seat, and I was in tears for sure. Like, how are we supposed to follow up Devin's what was that, like a rap? That's pretty good. Spoken word, yes, that's right.
We don't use the word rap here in our church. Okay. It's okay.
Are you tearing up again?
Yeah, I am. I am mad. I can't.
No, it's too good. It's what a beautiful picture of. Yes, Colossians 1 was in the living room of Mary and Martha. But he's also in our hearts dwelling. It changes lives. If you want to know a tangible picture of Jesus Christ changing the life of someone, there's a number of people you can talk to, and Devin is right up there, you know. Praise God for Devin and his testimony. Think of guys like Chad, and, you know, there's, and all of us really, you know, we all have an opportunity to share what Christ has done in our lives. So thanks, Dev. I appreciate that. Yeah, this week we're gonna finish it off. This is kind of weird. I didn't really know how to end, other than just continuing through Colossians. But I was just thinking, is there anything special I want to do for the last week? Not really. I think last week was pretty different. Did you guys like that last week? Kind of just slowing down, kind of just thinking about meditating on what was going on. Did you guys enjoy that? Okay. And we took communion too. That was good. This week we aren't, but we'll continue in the Word. This week we're on the end of Colossians 3. I don't know if we're going to be able to get in Colossians 4, but we're going to hit the end of Colossians 3. But I first want to kick that out of the way. But I first want to go over what we have learned so far through the book of Colossians. And the first slide is up there. Jesus is supreme. Jesus is supreme over and because of creation. We learned that the first week. He is supreme in and over the church. He is supreme in and over in our individual salvation. He is supreme over other worldviews. He's over trivial rules for right standing with God. He's supreme over our sanctification and raising us to new life. And putting to death the power of sin in our lives. So next slide there, Steve. And then we talked about Mary and Martha. So if you want to go there again in your Bibles, it's in Luke 10. I want to hit that because I think it's very important. Because that verse in Colossians, right, that in Colossians 2 there. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. That's the heart of that, of Colossians. It's like right in the middle of it. Luke 10. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her home, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to Him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Like I said last week, Colossians 1 was in her living room and she was doing the dishes. And I think the book of Luke has a pattern of making Jesus look weird again to us, you know, making Jesus seem interesting, right? We don't want to get too comfortable with Jesus, but we want to get comfortable to Him. He's the all-consuming fire, and He's also the Jesus who holds the lamb in His hand in that classic picture, and is in our hearts ministering to us. But He's also that consuming fire talked about in Hebrews. C.S. Lewis says he's not safe, and that is very true. And the book of Luke is a good picture throughout the whole book of making Jesus weird or uncomfortable to our ears again and to our eyes. That's a good place for Jesus to be. But at the same time, we want to be rooted and built up in Jesus. Right before the milk. I've gotten texts about the milk illustration. My mom has told me that people have talked to her about the milk illustration. I didn't think it was. I was just, this will be pretty good. You know, I didn't think it'd be. But the whole point is establishment, right, in Christ, being with Christ in prayer, reading the Word, worshiping Him in song communally, is the prerequisite for overflowing, right? The glass of milk, I can have an established glass of milk on my table, right? It's about 3/4 full, you know, and it's not going to overflow until it's full, right? We have to be established in Christ before we overflow, right? Our theology is very important. The way we view God is very important. Worldview is very important. Mary was taking the opportunity to be rooted and established while Martha had an anxious heart. You don't do dishes while Colossians 1 is in your living room. Our continual growth in theology / establishment in the faith and our time in prayer are necessary for doing ministry. Can you go to the next slide there, Steve? So we're at the end of chapter 3. And so we'll read from there. It starts in verse 18. I didn't know how to go about this passage, since I am a 22-year-old man who has no wife yet. And so the first sentence is, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. You can see my uncomfortability in that because that has nothing to do with me. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service or people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Notice, the Lord is mentioned a lot. Every command, right? Submit to your husbands, love your wives. Obey your parents. Parents, don't be harsh with your kids. Work heartily for your employers, or for yourself if you're your own boss, but work heartily. Every command is pointing through the direct object to God. Wives, submit to your husbands. Why? This is fitting to the Lord. Children, obey your parents. Why? Because it pleases the Lord. Bondservants, obey your masters as to the Lord. It never says anything about the bondservants. You know, like, please your master because it pleases the master. No. Please the master because the Lord wants you to do that. The motivation never lands directly on the immediate recipient, but rather the act that is being done. Submission, showing honor, and doing things in obedience is a means to the end of loving, honoring, and glorifying God. It never finds its full purpose on the direct object. We've gone from theology in chapters 1 and 2, applying that theology in chapter 3, and here at the end of chapter 3, and the start of chapter 4, we see the implications of that theology applied. If I were to apply love and thankfulness, which we found in chapter 3 was the applications of knowing Christ, being rooted in Christ. If I were to apply love and thankfulness rooted in Christ to everyday situations, what would that look like? So if you came today hungry for some practicality to Colossians, today is your day. I hope you guys know by now that Colossians' worldview is so important. Your theology is so important. So important. Because everybody in today's culture has a theology. Most people in our world take the word theology and apply it to themselves. Theology, the study of God. No, the world says theology, the study of themselves. And we are different in that way. We look to Christ. We don't look inside of ourselves. Your theology is so, so important. That's why 90% of the book of Colossians is theology, and 10% roughly is the implications from that theology. Let's take a look at some of the verses throughout Colossians that have been led us to this part of chapter 3. They're verses that I may have not had time necessarily to fully formulate, but I think they're insanely important. And the first one is 2:17. 2:17. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. 2:23. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom, but they are of no value apart from Christ. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom, but they are of no value. And then 2:8. See that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, and the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. You might be asking, what do these verses have to do with submitting to husbands? Right? These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. What does this have to do with our verse? That was before. As a matter of fact, it has everything to do with the end of chapter 3. Why do you think it consistently says, as is fitting to the Lord, or because it pleases the Lord, or as for the Lord? These are a shadow of the things to come. The substance belongs to Christ. Marriage is a shadow of the things to come. The substance belongs to Christ. Marriage is pointing to Christ's relationship with the church. If you're familiar with the Ephesians passage, you'll know Ephesians 5:22 is how Christ defines marriage, or how Apostle Paul defines marriage from a Christian worldview. Marriage is pointing to Christ's relationship to the church. We'll pick up in Ephesians 5:22. Ephesians 5:22 to unpack this Colossians 3 verse. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. You notice that verse is often left out in this conversation? Often, too often left out. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. What a standard. And he gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. It'd be easy, and again, this is not coming from me, this is coming from the text. I have no authority over this, other than what the text gives me. It'd be easy to submit to a husband that loves you the way Christ loves the church. Any wives out there can agree with that? If my husband loved me the way Christ loved the church, submit to that guy any day. That's awesome. What a standard the husband has to love his wife. Right? Marriage is a shadow of the things to come. Why? Because one day the bridegroom Christ is going to welcome